Good morning, y'all.
Morning.
First, I want to thank you and thank you for this opportunity to worship with you. Thank you, Pastor Katie and Team Tab family, for this chance to share some thoughts with you. I also want to take a moment to thank you on behalf of Trans Faith. Since our very inception, I kind of want to say Tabernacle was kind of the midwife for Trans Faith, and you've been an anchor in our work, and we strive to make you proud of us and to trust that what you pour into us, we continue to pour into those that need us. I also want to thank my sweetheart, Karen, for missing service at her home church, Canaan Baptist of Germantown, to join me today. And I offer a special prayer for my best friend for life, my BFF, Chris Page, who had to choose between several of her favorite people preaching all at the same time on the same Sunday. And since Chris sees me most often, I actually supported them going to support Ovid in Germantown. So please pray with me for a moment. Gracious God, I thank you. I thank you for the will to serve you, for the tools to serve you. I thank you for the breath and the life that you have poured into me with such grace and mercy. Allow me to be a blessing to the text and to your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So I'm going to get all the disclaimers out of the way. First, I encourage feedback. Call and response, engagement. You know, you can chat with me. You don't have to sit quietly. If that is your fashion, break out of your mold today. Okay? Second, I want you to wrestle with the texts with me, which means that I don't want you to just read them and take them at face value. I want you to get in there and roll around with them in the ways that our ancestors of faith, the rabbis, have always done. I want you to witness the text in a fresh way from a different perspective. And here's the bad news, the last disclaimer. I give homework. Since I will not be here with you next week, I won't know whether or not you did the homework. So I'm going to have to trust you with that. But I am going to give you homework. Okay? All right. Anybody feel like up to saying that you're going to actually do the homework now? Okay, one or two of you are brave and going, the rest of you are like, I don't know what it is yet, I'm not saying anything. All right, let's jump in. The passage from Acts is a very common one, and most of us have heard it or read it before, and usually what follows where I ended was the discussion of Paul and Silas and their jail time, their time in custody and all the wonderful things that happened to them. But I like to look at the lesser-known characters in the Bible, and often those lesser-known characters are women, children, slaves, eunuchs, and people who were not the people of Israel. The girl in this passage was likely quite young, and she was said to be gifted with a second sight. She was a slave and not able to operate out of her own agency or for her own authority, and her spirit of divination was used as a means of commerce by her owners. She was the hen who laid the golden eggs. The likelihood that they would ever emancipate such a rich gift is slim to none. So why was she following Paul and the crew around? The scripture said she did it for days, that she followed them for days. Did she have to break out of somewhere to do that? Because no doubt they weren't going to let their prized possession just wander around freely, not because they were concerned about her welfare, but because they were concerned that someone would steal her from them. We don't have those answers because the text doesn't go into it, but I can only imagine that a captive worth a great deal of money had some supervision. And yet, she found a way to follow them around for days with all of her yelling and screaming. I wonder sometimes if them coming through town was the answer to her prayers. We don't get to know what her prayers were. Were her prayers freedom from bondage, freedom from servitude, a way out? Did she know that following Paul around might be the key to her freedom? It's not a secret, if you've read any of Paul's writings, that he's a little bit cranky and a lot judgmental. He didn't appear to have very much high regard for women, ever. And he had that mixture that some of us might identify with, which is, we're arrogant with most of humanity, but only humble before God. Amen. Christians are very good at that. This passage is often read as a castigation against her gifts of divination, but I want to offer you a different point of view, that her sight allowed her to see the power of Christ as her only avenue to freedom. Her station was below everybody else's. Her gift was both seen as an abomination by some practitioners, but it was a profitable abomination. Now, I want to just have an aside here. Many of us that are rigid in our interpretations will call out abominations, but we won't necessarily stop profiting from them. Amen. I've been to many a church over my 58 years where I have been thrown under the bus from the pulpit, but they still collect my tithes. Amen. They still use my gifts. They still let me play the piano and preach and pray and decorate and take care of the children while they still see me as an aberration and an abomination. Let us be careful that we are not calling people out and then stealing their gifts, because we are no different than the slaveholders in this story. God has an interesting way of flipping the script on things. So this nameless, landless, owned, yet not fully a woman, because they called her a girl, so she was probably 12 or 13, if that, in spite of and because of her brokenness and her sin, she found a way. Let's listen anew to the words of John with this young slave girl in the forefront of our minds. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. Righteous one, the world does not know you and does not see you in all things, but I know you. I know who created me. I shouted your name and I will make your power known, so that the love, grace, and mercy that you have shown me may be in them. Can you see that in her shouting as she followed the crowd around? I might make some analogies to others in our modern times who were burdened with their ascribed identities, seen as less than, as sinners, as broken, as unworthy of any regard, as useful only as far as they can generate income. But God has a way of flipping the script on that too. There's another passage that often speaks to my heart when I think of this young person's story, and that's the passage in Mark 10, 47 and 48, the story of old blind Bartimaeus. He's one of my favorite people. He too shouted and was hushed, and he kept shouting for the grace and the healing power of Christ, knowing full well that those that hold the gates of protocol would prefer him to be absent, but if not absent, at least quiet. But he kept shouting over and over again. He was inappropriate. He was distracting. But he was committed to his own breakthrough. I resonate with the young slave girl and with Bartimaeus. I stand before you as an imperfect vessel, broken time and time again, on the wrong side of many arguments, both political and theological, an aberration to some, an abomination to others, and yet I keep crying out the name of God for my own salvation. I cry from the gutters and from the crack houses and from the jailhouse and from the hostel and from the penitentiary and from the psych wards and from the domestic violence shelters. I cry out from the group homes and the halfway houses, from the dirty places where some people who are too saved and civilized dare not tread. I have gifts. I may not have always used them in the right way, but I do have gifts. I might have used my gifts to survive another day. I might have used my gifts to get away with something or to get over on someone. But I did it all to survive. But one day in the midst of all that, a window opened and I saw the opportunity to shout out the name of the righteous one. Preachers tried to silence me. Doctrine tried to shush me up. Protocol tried to shut me down and tell me that my voice was not one that should be heard. But I knew that my salvation and freedom was in my continuing to shout, I have been the wrong everything, according to so many, and often according to myself. And yet I keep shouting. Unconcerned about how it might look, how embarrassing and vulnerable it might feel, Because I know that my salvation, my usefulness, my ability to use every gift that God has given me is in the hands of a God who knows me, who created me, who sustains me, and who continues to save me, defying all odds and all convention. This girl was freed. Her usability was stripped, which meant she was no longer profitable, so she no longer had worth. Perhaps her freedom wasn't for the right reasons. We don't get to know the rest of the story, but we do know that the captors were so angry, they threw Paul and his crew in prison. Now, were they angry with Paul and his crew because they took away their income or because of what they were preaching? We don't know. We make some assumptions about that. But I can tell you in the current incarnation, if you take away somebody's property and their money, they'll throw you in jail regardless of what you're preaching. So it may have been about the name of Jesus, but I'll tell you what. That girl with that issue, that sin, she knew exactly what to say and to whom to say it to be free from her bondage. So here's your homework. I want you to pay attention to who's shouting now and ask yourself, why aren't you listening to them? Why aren't you blessing them? The noisy ones, the ones that don't look right, don't smell right, ain't from the right side, don't believe what you believe. The ones that are still turning tricks and still doing drugs and still stealing stuff. Those people who are shouting, the ones that are loud and obnoxious, you know the ones. You know, when you're driving down the road and your window's down and their window's down, you're like, oh my God, can they please just either shut up or roll up the windows? Because I don't want to hear all that. Perhaps they are shouting for you to listen to them. So this week in your daily journeys, I want you to look and listen for the voices that you find disturbing and distracting. I want you to stop and I want you to pray for them. I want you to bless them with what God has so freely given to you. You do not have to tell them your story. Because we love to proselytize. But it's likely that they've heard the company line before. If they're of any age at all, they've heard it from mama and grandmama and Uncle Bob and Reverend Uncle so-and-so, whoever he is. They've heard that stuff and they found it hollow and unfulfilling. Why have they found it hollow and unfulfilling? Because they've been told by people that had an agenda that said, you have to change before God can save you. You have to clean up before God can save you. We do that a lot when we're talking about God. So don't tell them your story. Don't do that. One of the things that I found that we often do is we mask our judgment of other people and we confuse self-righteousness with holiness. They're not the same. Instead, tell God about them. Pray on their behalf. Ask God to pour into them and their well-being and their holiness. Find a way in your own way to pour into their own survival. Because I don't want you to just pray for them. I also want you to find a way to pour into them. If you find that they have nothing, give them something. Even if you don't have any resources, go home and make a sandwich. They might not thank you. They might curse you out. But you did what you needed to do, and you keep praying for them. One of the things that I hope to see in my lifetime, and I'm seeing more and more, is that we of faith stop being conventional and start being radical. In the time of Christ, Christ was not conventional. Christ was radical. Christ was not a Christian. Christ was a Jew. He was a radical Jew with some radical ideas about how to love and who to love and who got to be a part of. The more the Christian church has grown, the more rules and doctrine we have, the less truth we're willing to tell. We've gotten so confused by what's in the book that we've forgotten what the book is supposed to point us to. Christ, I ask you to bless us and keep us and break our chains. I ask you to break us free of all convention that stands in the way of our usefulness to those that you put in our path. Though we may see them as distractions and annoying and clutter, open our eyes and open our hearts to a world that is so broken and so in need of your mercy and your grace through our hands and through our hearts. We thank you, God, for letting us be a part of your body Now send us to serve. Amen.